strength for my journey, I knelt at the cross where Jesus once died for me. And I asked, is this the place where hope abides? And this he said to me, behold the cross is a tomb that is empty. You won't find me there anymore. And behold the tomb is life everlasting and hope forevermore. Then I sought reassurance and I went to the tomb, to the place where his body once lay. And I cried, Lord, help me see, is there hope here for me? And this I heard him say, behold the cross is a tomb that is empty. You won't find me there anymore. And behold the tomb is life everlasting and hope forevermore. And behold the cross is a tomb that is empty. You won't find me there anymore. And beyond the tomb is life everlasting and hope forever. Oh, forevermore, evermore.
It off. There we go. I flipped it the other way. Thank you. Oh, I love being in God's house, but I love Easter. It's just it's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. The choir's going to be singing special music. Excited about it. I heard one of the songs one of the groups is going to do. I heard it in it was in the auditorium playing through our speakers a moment ago. It wasn't any group from our church, but I'm looking forward to singing that song. And it's just a blessing, right? When you think about the empty tomb. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I know we started in Proverbs on Sunday night. I thought that was pretty neat. And I knew as of Sunday night, the Lord didn't change it. I wasn't sure if he would. Lord didn't change it. I knew if he didn't change it, I would be in Proverbs as well. Proverbs chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse number 16 down through verse number 19. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. The Bible says, again, Proverbs 6, verse number 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Let's pray. Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray that you would be with us here tonight. Please be with me. Help me, Father. As always, I have absolutely nothing to offer in my flesh. I have no special wise word for the people here tonight. I pray that you would speak to us through your word. Give us exactly what we need. I pray that you encourage us. I pray that you would convict us, Father, and use these words. Give me the words to speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord what? Hate. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Look at that. Number one on the list, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. And the third thought here, the third listed item is the one that I'm going to stop on here tonight. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Before I jump into the heart of the message, I do like to note, you know, I believe every one of us in the room is guilty at some point or another of that proud look. Every single one of us has to fight that wickedness of pride that swells up inside of us. Every single one of us deals with it. What about that lying tongue? Every single one of us, at some point or another, has told a lie. And we see these things. Every once in a while, I deal with that pride just a little bit. Every once in a while, you know, I do. I'm not past it. I'll tell a lie. It's not good, but it's certainly not murder. Number three, right? Hands that shed innocent blood. But these six things doth the Lord hate. We do a good job in our flesh, in our mind's eye, of leveling our sin. All right, it's not very good. I shouldn't do it, but at least it's not that over there. You see, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm not that guy over there. We're very good at that. And God's saying right here, these six things that the Lord hate. And I want to focus on that third thought here today. I want you to do something for me. I want you to take a look right now. I don't know what condition your hands are in right now with the change of weather. You know, I got dry hands right now, and they're kind of crackling up and breaking. They're kind of disgusting right now, to be quite frank with you. Take a look at your hands right now. Take a look at those hands. Look at them. Those hands right there, hands that God gave you. See those things right there? You know, we look in the Bible, you see these hands, and it goes back. The first time that word hand, singular, form there, it's used in the Bible, it's going to go to Genesis chapter 3, where there is a hand taking some forbidden fruit. Forbidden fruit. The second time you're going to see the singular form of the word, it's going to be in Genesis chapter 4, where a hand is taking an innocent life. The third time, in its plural form, as we see it here in Proverbs chapter 6, we see it in Genesis chapter 5, verse number 29. Working hands, hands that are toiling, as it's used there in the Bible. And in relation to, we'll talk about this gentleman in just a moment, Noah. Okay? We'll get there in just a little bit. But I want us to take, I'm not going to go in depth here, I don't have time to do so in the Bible, go verse by verse, and we're going to look at every usage of the word hand in the Bible. I'm not going to do that. But when we look at the word hand, or when we think about our hands here, you see possession. You will see position in the Bible. You will see authority. You will see words like that are connected with influence. You today, someone in the room today, all of us in the room in some form or another, there's another word, power. I don't care how old, how young, whether you are 45 years old or you just graduated the nursery, and now you're in the services, you're 5 years old today, you have power. Say, no, not a 5-year-old. No, I'm serious. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I remember going on a little walk with my grandparents in Ellet. And we went walking around the block. We're on the sidewalk, of course. I was young. I wasn't walking in the street. We're on the sidewalk. And we made our way around the first stretch and then the second stretch. And then we start coming around back the other side. And we're getting ready to turn for home here. And I look down on the sidewalk. And what do I see? As a 5, 6-year-old boy, I see not hundreds, thousands. Thousands of ants. And as a 5, 6-year-old boy, whatever it was, this was very interesting to me. We had to stop for a moment. I had to look at these ants. I don't think I'd ever seen this many ants at one time or another. And as I got down on my hands and knees and I took a look at those ants, I thought to myself, you know what? If I want to kill every one of these ants, I could do it. I could kill every one of them right here, right now. And I looked at those ants. They looked at me, and I looked at them right in the eye. I looked at them. They looked at me, and as just a 5-year-old boy, I chose to let them live. I stepped over. I thought that was pretty big of me as a 5, 6-year-old boy. I expected some thanks there. I could have wiped them all out. Gone. Done. Power, 5, 6-year-old boy. Take a look at those hands. See those hands? You have, in some form, in some fashion, you have authority today. I don't know to what capacity. You have, every single one of us in the room here tonight has influence here tonight. Some form, I don't know if that's, you know, a brother or a sister. You have influence. Mom or dad, grandparents, you have influence. Maybe just a coworker, you have influence today. You say, okay, very good. That's very good. It's 7:45. Let's call it. Let's wrap it up right there. We get it. Murder's bad, Brother Josh. Don't kill people, just like you didn't kill the ants. Well, as we look at the Bible, and I've been convicted by this thought for the last couple of weeks now. As we look at the Bible, and let's go to murder. Perhaps even in this general location, in this Akron area, it's sad. And there's a certain element where if you're watching that regularly, you see it all the time and you get frustrated. Why? That's terrible. Taking of that innocent life. There is physical death. There is murder in a physical form. But if there is spiritual death, could there not be a spiritual form of murder? Hands that
dead.
Wow. That was impressive. That was very scary. Man. Hello. How are we doing? We good? All right. murder. Death. Yes, there it is, in a nutshell, that right there. Remember, I told you, John 8:44, take a look here. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do, period. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What does the Bible say? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and what?
Death.
Death by sin. The devil, a murderer from the beginning. Now, let me ask you something. When, yes, that simple little lie from the devil, and that simple act, as we would call it, of disobedience by Adam, he was given a command. You can eat of any tree in the garden, just don't eat of the one in the middle. And that's exactly what he did. When he did that, did they die right then and there? Over, done, physical death, gone. I told you not to eat of the fruit, gone, dead. No, not in that moment physically, but something terrible did happen. In that moment of sin, in that moment of disobedience, something that affected mankind from that moment on, every single one of us today, at our root, our basic core, we are wicked sinners. We were born into this world that way. The devil there in verse number 44, he was a murderer from the beginning. I guess in short, and by way of introduction, this evening, I just want us to understand the significance and the importance, take a look at those hands again, of the influence that you have. You see, you have power and authority. You have certain things in your possession today. And what is in your possession today? Maybe it's a neighbor next door that needs Jesus Christ. Maybe it's little children running through the living room and down the hallway and having a good old time. When you disobey, when you fail to follow through with what God has for you, no, there's not physical murder in that one exact moment. Typically, that is the case. Typically, that is the case. But there are spiritual consequences for our failure to follow through with what God has for me. Understanding the importance, the impact of my authority and my influence, the possessions that I have, the things that God has given to me. What about not just individually, me personally, but what about our church and the influence that we have or could have on a lost and dying world in our community right here in Akron, Ohio? Oh, a proud look, God hates it. A lying tongue, God hates it. But hands that shed innocent blood. Am I guilty of spiritual murder tonight? When I was given the opportunity to pass out that gospel tract and God said, do it. And I failed to obey. There are eternal consequences for my lack of obedience. Just a little bite of a piece of fruit. What's the big deal? Death and destruction? No, surely not. But for generation after generation, we have felt the effects of that disobedience. How many times have the spiritual effects been felt from my lack of obedience to what God has given for me, given to me, given me to do with my life, my calling? It's a convicting thought for me. And I want to give you just a few things to think about here this evening. I said it a moment ago, we gave three biblical examples going back to Genesis chapter 3, taking that hand, taking the forbidden fruit. Genesis chapter 4, the hand taking that of an innocent life, physical murder. Number 3, I want to look at the example that we have in Noah. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11 really quick. We will reference Genesis chapter 6, but I want us to take a look at a simple verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. It is heartbreaking to me, and I'm not going to stick or stay here very long just because I don't want to beat us up. But we do fall short far too often in following through with what God has blessed us with and the opportunities that we have along the way. Whether that's at the job, whether that's over there at the neighbor's house, whether that's family at the family event that we'll be at this weekend, will we be bold and faithful with the opportunities that God has given to us, the influence that we have, the difference that we do have the opportunity to make today? Listen, we've heard about it. Men, we heard about it emphasized at the conference just a few days ago. Those children that you have in your home and the opportunity to influence them in such a wonderful way, pointing them to Jesus Christ and the difference that that would make in that little heart, that little life. That is a big responsibility. Church, Community Baptist Temple, we have been given a big responsibility. And sometimes we're lulled to sleep, just like Adam taking a bite of that fruit. You look around and you think, I'm good. Nothing happened here, right? I would surely die. Eve, what? Yeah, we're both still here. And we get stuck in our sin, in our neutral ways, as we heard Sunday night, and we're doing okay. My kids are fine. You know what? My kids still love going to Sunday school, and they come home, and they still talk about that lesson, and they still look forward to the family altar and opening the Bible and learning these Bible stories. My kids love it. 5 years old and 1.5, they're just having a great time. We're reading the Bible. This is wonderful. Telling you there are consequences, you don't feel them right away. Oh, I don't want blood on these hands. I don't want blood on these. Sunday school teacher, are you cutting your study just a little short? You gotten used to, you know what? I did that little Saturday night special and it went okay. It wasn't that bad. I don't want blood on my hands today. Oh, you're singing the special and you're feeling pretty good about yourself and it didn't sound half bad. I don't want blood on my hands today. The responsibility that we have been given here at Community Baptist Temple, you and your home and your life, your family. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of these things, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Remember, you'll take a look. You could see it there in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 14. There is a calling. There is a command that is given to this man, Noah. And through verses 15 through verse number 21 of Genesis chapter 6, God outlines a detailed plan for building this ark, gives him instructions, step-by-step instructions. This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. If you want to avoid blood on your hands, I'm going to give you three simple things, and we're going to move very, very quickly here. Three simple thoughts. Make sure you're preparing the ark. Make sure you, individually, here tonight, you're preparing the ark. What do I mean by that? As I said just a moment ago, God gave detailed instructions. And Noah, God had a plan for this man. His plan was slightly different than what God has for me, the plan for my life. My life is going to be different than the plan that God has for your life. He has something specific for you. But are you following through? Are you obedient in the calling and the plan for what God has given you and your life individually? This is a big deal, folks. God has something for you. God has something he's asked you to do. I'm not talking only to preachers right now. We'll get to that in just a moment. I'm not talking just to staff members and pastors across the nation. Every Christian here, every believer, God has a purpose and a plan for every single one of us. And if me as a father, as a coworker, as a neighbor to so-and-so down the street, if I'm not following through with the plan that God has for me, I assure you, there will be blood on my hands. Are you right where God wants you? Are you right where you're supposed to be tonight? Because if you feel that you should be over there, you believe that God has placed a calling in your heart and your life, and you know that you're not where you're supposed to be, there will be blood on your hands. I know that's good preaching for camp and conferences. You know, we want the teens to answer a call, right? Well, God has a calling for you and your life, your family. Are you obedient to that plan? Are you in obedience and are you in accordance with that plan tonight? Right here in this third month, 2024, are you in obedience to the plan that God has for you? Prepare the ark. Are you preparing the ark? It wasn't an overnight job for old Noah. It took a few years. All right, I did pretty good today. Well, it's time to get up and work tomorrow. Well, I did pretty good this week. I did all right. Well, next week, let's do it again. Obedient to God's plan for you and for yours. We don't see the word specifically here in chapter 7. We see it there that he condemned the world, verse number 7 of chapter 11 in Hebrews. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, he's a preacher. You want to avoid blood on your hands? Avoiding blood on your hands. Innocent blood. Prepare the ark. Number two, make sure you are preaching the word. Preaching the word. He had a big job. He had to build that ark. But he was preaching. Listen, folks. The rain's coming. There's a storm coming. Death and destruction, the only way you're saved is to get on the ark. You follow me. I can only imagine how old Noah was mocked and made fun of for all those years. You get out there and you knock some doors. We ran into today, a couple of college guys, myself, we ran into an atheist. He was kind enough overall, but I don't want anything to do with that. You're going to run into people along the way, whether it's at the job, out on the streets, at that door, the neighbor's house. You may get made fun of. You're trying to point them in the direction that they should go. We must stay faithful to our calling, to God's plan for our lives, but make sure every single day, as we heard a moment ago, everywhere you go, that you are preaching the word. Who have you told about Jesus? Who have you told about salvation in the last week, in the last couple of days? I'm thankful. God has you, has me here at Community Baptist Temple, and we are here under Pastor Mark O'Donnell, who is being led of the Spirit and has emphasized soul winning. How's your soul winning going today? If you aren't a good soul winner, I assure you, I'm not trying to be mean or nasty. If you're not a good soul winner, you're not obedient. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're not preaching the gospel today, you will have blood on your hands. I don't preach like I ought to preach. I don't share the truth like I ought to share it. God's been working on your heart to get to that go rally. It's time. I've been hearing about souls being saved and the Lord's been convicting me. You haven't showed up? There will be blood on your hands. I just know I need to get to that door. I got to knock on that door. I get nervous. I'm scared. I'm afraid. You fail to follow through. Be obedient to God's calling. God's plan for your life. There will be blood on your hands. Doesn't have to be. We must be faithful and obedient to God's plan, to his calling. Go! Preach the gospel. Prepare the ark. Preach the word. And finally, remember, we're talking about Noah. I can't imagine. That rain starts falling. How intense. I was thinking about that. You know, it's been a few days now, and now this ark is kind of floating about aimlessly. The uneasy feelings, the nerves that may have been there with that family. Is this thing going to stay together? And this is a big storm. This is pretty intense. We've been working for years and years and years. Is it going to hold up? Is it going to work? Are we going to live? There was safety in that ark. And that family survived. And you know what they did the second they got off that ark? They worshiped, they praised their Creator. They praised their Creator. He is worthy of our praise. God is so good. He's so merciful, so gracious, so kind to us. Sometimes we take full advantage of that and fail to follow through with what God has given to me personally to do. I have a plan, or God has given me a plan. Am I obedient to that? Am I following through with it? Are you faithful to that calling? Are you preaching the word today? Are you praising your Creator today? Too many times, how is it? You get the victory, right? You walk off the ark. We survived. Nothing, no one else survived. You experience victory. You're on the mountaintop, so to speak, right? What a great victory. This is so amazing. And that's when we take our hardest fall. Because we take off, we walk off that ark, and we feel that we've actually accomplished something. We've actually done something. Look at me. Look at who I am today. We are nothing. We're nobodies. We need our God. We need the Creator of all the universe. And if you're going to make a difference or an impact in a heart and a life, whether it's that child sitting next to you this evening, just think about that. Hold on. Look one more time as we close it down. Look at those hands. The authority, the position, the possessions, the influence at your disposal today. Let me ask you something. You want to know if you're going to end up with a bunch of blood, innocent blood on those hands? I'm going to ask you right now, whose hands are these? Who do these belong to? Well, they're my hands. I get that. Have you given your influence and your authority and your possessions, your belongings, your family, your job, your car to God? Or is it all yours? It's mine. It's my time. A proud look. God hates it. A lying tongue. God hates it. Hands that shed innocent blood. Father, we need you. I pray that you would help us today to understand right now, in this moment, the opportunity that we have to be able to make a difference, to be used of you in such a miraculous, amazing, a mighty way. But Father, I pray that we would be humble today, that we would be truthful, that we would be obedient today. Lord, if someone here in the room tonight has somewhat slipped away from their calling or the plan that you have for them, oh, Father, I pray that they'd give those hands, so to speak, back to you in submission, total commitment to you, to your way. Father, maybe pride has slipped in there and we're just, unfortunately, too nervous, too fearful, too afraid to preach in a day where people are making fun of us, mocking us, Lord, as they did with Noah. Help us to be bold, to be faithful with the message that you have given to us. And Lord, let us never forget, as Noah did when he stepped off that ark, to remember in that moment his Creator, his Savior. Lord, we would be nowhere. We are nothing without you. Help us to never forget that. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are, for what you you've already done and what you will do in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed as the music begins.